whereabouts have ever been found. What could you know that Ravinica's spies do not?
I know his tale.
At this I was confused, and could only believe it was all deception, so I asked, what tale?
From the moment you deposed him to the hour in which we speak now, I know what happened to the prince.
And what do you want for this information? Gold? Land? Titles? But he wanted none, and so I am sure what I am about to tell you is all a lie, for he said,
I would have you listen.
And I could now, with certainty, hear his smile.
Each night I will return at this hour,
he said.
And each night I will tell a Luthien's tale. And I want you to listen until his tale is done.
And so I listened, and later committed to parchment the first part of the stranger's tale of Eluthien. I recount this for you now, my duke, for, and I am sure you will agree, whatever its ending, it will be of consequence to our plans.
1. Lyander. Morning's pale shadow crept over the treetops, and Calbraith Lyander stood baffled at the prospect of someone surviving long enough to build the house in front of him.
They're either lucky or up to their neck in the blackest magic possible, he thought,
though he knew both options were as unlikely as the other. The good people of Vergrain, his reason for being here, believed the house's owner a conjurer of Imerati, specifically, a demonic spectre haunting them all in the night. It would go some way in accounting for the owner's choice of location. The problem was, the good people of Vergrain, along with the rest of the Pontivar Valley for that matter, liked to tell tall tales about the evil living on their doorstep. Really tall tales. On the other hand, the idea that this new resident was simply lucky was even less believable. Yegardania, the forest in which the house had been built, and lucky were not two words ever used in the same sentence. Although, someone more meticulous than him might say the house wasn't actually in the Yegardanian forest.
They might also say it's not much of a house.
Its twisted dark beams propped up a roof sagging under its own weight, which slanted away from the chimney, a cobbling of white stone and grey slate. The door, which clung to its hinges, looked like it had been built from whatever was left over from constructing the walls and roof, while the window, crooked and poorly set, gave the impression the whole thing was slowly sinking to one side. It sat there, like a bear's decaying carcass, on the border of the Yegardanian forest, where the Pontivar's beech and maple became indistinguishable from the larger arborealis, their slimmer cousins, the Oranthi, and their distant relation, the Sycothorn, where the smooth grey and furrowed grey-brown gave way to darker, thicker trunks, and where notched bark turned to coiling vines, and winding roots became feeler-like limbs, spearing the hapless ground around them. Where the known, the relatively safe, gave way to the unknown, and almost certain death. Holding the reins of his horse, who clearly wasn't having the same internal dilemma he was, Lyander tried to recall what the Baron had told him two nights past. That in itself was difficult, because the Baron had been several jugs deep into what passed for wine in the Pontivar Valley.
Unnatural, Lyander seemed to remember the Baron slurring at him.
That was it. He'd said it was
unnatural for a man to live out there on his own for so long.
They'd been sat in the Baron's chambers, a room of soot-stained timber and creaking beams overlooking most of Vergrain. Taking up one entire side was a table that could seat 16 and adorned with a scattering of silverware. Behind where they sat at the Baron's desk were two couches facing one another,